You're listening to Truly Sustainable Sarasota on 96.5 LPFM, and you just heard a beautiful track, Alive, by our first guest, Will Tuttle. And thank you, Will, for being here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And you are actually Dr. Will Tuttle, and you're the author of the very famous World Peace Diet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background first?
Sure. Well, I was raised in the usual heavy meat, dairy, and egg eating family in Concord, Massachusetts. But when I was a kid, I went away to a summer camp in Vermont that was affiliated with a organic dairy. I witnessed firsthand, we killed our own chickens and then we slaughtered our own dairy cow. I saw how, sort of a little bit behind the curtain, and how even on a, you know, pristine organic dairy, basically the babies are stolen from their mothers, and as soon as the production falls off after only about 4 or 5 years, instead of letting the animals live to 20 or 25 years like they would normally in the wild, they just kill them and we eat them. So we did that. We killed and ate the cow.
How old were you?
I was 12. And then the second year I went there, I saw how the cow knew that we were going to be killing her and how she fought for her life. So it planted some seeds, I think, of questioning. But still, I was completely indoctrinated, and I couldn't really question it because I had been told since I was born, really, that animals were put here for us to use, that we would just die from a protein deficiency if we didn't eat them within a few days. So I just never questioned it. I went away to Colby College in Maine, and while I was there, I began questioning everything. It was during the Vietnam War era, back in the early 70s, and I started to feel into this whole idea of our treatment of animals, but I still had never really met a vegetarian. It was so unusual back then, especially in Maine. So,
what year was this?
This was in the early 70s, 73, uh-huh. Something like that. So I ended up deciding, though, after reading a lot of books on Zen and Eastern religions in general and the Bible, some of what Jesus said, deciding that I wanted to go on a spiritual pilgrimage and get a higher consciousness. And so I left home, left my parents' home in Concord, Massachusetts after I graduated from college, and headed out towards California, but didn't get that far. I actually ended up at a place called The Farm in Tennessee, which was a bunch of people, mainly from California. It was the largest hippie commune in the world back in the mid-70s, about 1,000 people. And they were all vegetarians. In fact, they didn't use the word because no one knew it, but they were vegans in the sense of doing it for a motivation of kindness and compassion, not for health reasons, and just eating no animal foods of any kind, not even wearing any leather. I remember being quite impressed with this community of people. And there was such good energy there, and so that was it. I never have eaten meat again in my life. And a couple of years later, I eventually got out to San Francisco and lived in Tibetan Buddhist centers and Zen centers, and eventually went to Korea and lived as a Zen monk in Korea. And when I was there, I was in the second time I was in my life, I was at a vegan community, but this time it was a vegan community that had been practicing veganism for 650 years. It was a Zen monastery in the southern part of South Korea. And when I came back from that, I felt like I had these vegan roots that just went very deeply into the core of my being. You know, it was just a sense that animals are beings, they're not things, and to just have eyes that when I look at the world and see animals, that I see beings that are deserving of our respect and compassion and kindness, not just objects to be used, manipulated, mutilated, and killed and eaten.
Now, the title of your book, The World Peace Diet, what connection do you feel there is between diet and violence?
It's everything. I mean, there's a total connection. I mean, I was taught when I was a little kid not to make the connections between what was on my plate and what it took to get it on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like when I was in Korea, I started making those connections. Even before that, I think when I was at that summer camp, I started seeing those connections. I mean, I saw the blood fly, I saw the animals struggle, I saw the terrible fear in their eyes. And so I think, you know, we have to disconnect the violent from the violence that's on our plates in a ritualistic way in our culture 3 times a day. And so we become masters of disconnecting. And this mastership of disconnecting allows us to be manipulated by corporate interests very easily, and also to project the violence that we're eating and causing, and that creates a whole war machine. So we're slaughtering literally 25 million animals every day in this country, and that's a conservative estimate. That doesn't include animals that live in the ocean. So it's a massive amount of violence that we're directly causing when we desire to eat the flesh and secretions of brutalized animals.
Did you find, when you've lived in communities that were vegan or vegetarian, that it was a more peaceful culture or society than when you come into a very heavy meat-eating culture?
It's much more peaceful, much more mindful, much more of an emphasis on meditation, on kindness, compassion, caring, on inner values of sustainability, and cultivating inner consciousness, rather than in this society, basically the pseudo religion is consumerism. You know, that you'll get happiness by consuming more things, and it's the opposite of sustainability. It's the opposite, really, of equality and of kindness and of connectedness. And we're slaughtering people in other countries to keep the petroleum flowing, which really animal agriculture takes enormous amounts of land and petroleum and causes enormous amounts of suffering, not only to animals but to other human beings on this planet. So we have to be masters of disconnecting, which we are, in order to function in this culture. And I think going vegan is the most powerful positive act anyone can ever make in terms of world peace, because that's something we can all do. You know, I can't necessarily stop Bush and Cheney or whoever it is from this war, but I can stop contributing to the war that I use the food that I eat and that I cause through my fork every day.
You're listening to Truly Sustainable Sarasota on 96.5 LPFM. Our first guest today is Dr. Will Tuttle. He's the author of The World Peace Diet. And if you have any questions for him, you can call us here at 355-4540. That's 355-4540. And I know that you also do something very interesting, which is your personalized music and art portrait. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah, I've been a musician pretty much my whole life, and have been making my living as a musician with my wife Madeline, who's a visionary artist from Switzerland. And one of the things that we do actually is we live in an RV. We've been living in an RV, fifth wheel trailer now for 12 years full time, traveling the United States, giving lectures and concerts and art exhibits, putting on workshops and retreats. And every weekend we're in a different city, so we're here for a few days in Sarasota. And the individual sessions we do for either individuals or for couples, where they would sit by the piano, and I would just tune into their spirit, and I start playing, and their spirit begins to pull the music out of me, actually. And it's always a different piece of music, and I make a 30-minute, typically 30 is the usual amount length, a digital recording, so they get a CD of their music, and Madeline paints a 9x12 watercolor painting also inspired by their spirit. So we've done those for thousands of people over the years, and people really love it. I mean, it's one of the things that they say. If their house was burning down and they could just grab one thing before they leave, they'd grab their their music and art portrait.
How can people find out more about that? Do you have a website?
Yeah, we have a website. It's just my name, willtuttle.com, and that tells about the music. I have 8 albums of music out and original piano music. And my wife, Madeline, her paintings, and also about the book, The World Peace Diet, as well. And our schedule, our tour schedule, is on there.
Now, I went to your website, and I saw on there that you had sent a copy of your book, The World Peace Diet, to the Dalai Lama. And do you think this was part of the reason why he started to focus more on vegetarianism? I read that he started to turn a lot of the monasteries, the Tibetan monasteries, vegetarian.
I'd like to think so. I think it's part of it. He's been under a lot of pressure for years, to not be vegetarian from the whole, the lamas.
To not be vegetarian?
Right. Well, most of the lamas, they're not vegetarian, so he's been under a lot of pressure not to be vegetarian. But there's, of course, the counter pressure to be vegetarian, especially not only from the vegetarian movement, but also from a lot of the young Tibetans. They're much more interested in vegetarianism and in veganism as a natural extension of the Buddhist tradition, which in Tibet was somewhat hard to follow because it's such an arctic climate there. But now that they're more in India, I think there's in northern India, it's much easier to do that. So I think his natural sensitivity for the plight of animals is coming out more, and he's more making a lot more public statements in favor of vegetarianism than he was. And Thich Nhat Hanh, another well-known Vietnamese Buddhist teacher, has recently come out and said all of his monasteries and centers will be vegan, which is really a great breakthrough, I think.
Hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. And for anyone who's interested also, Will, you're going to be talking tonight, and that's right. Going to be at the Vegetarian Society.
Okay, where it's going to be held is the Friends Meeting House. It's being put on with the in conjunction with the local peace education and activist group here, and that is at 3137 57th Street, 5757th Street here in Sarasota.
And that's going to be at what time?
At 7 o'clock. It begins with free food and vegan, of course, and music. And then I'll be speaking at 8 o'clock.
That's wonderful. Now, obviously, a lot of the time, and Vicky and myself are also vegans, people try to challenge you, and their argument is, oh, well, you eat plants too. What's your...
Plants how do you, have feelings too.
Right, exactly, and they feel pain. How do you answer that when people say that to you?
Well, I don't think that's an honest argument. I don't think these people really care about plants so much, you know, that they're really, they're just, hearts are breaking when they see a broccoli or something. I haven't seen a broccoli scream and run,
but or I have bleed seen, and cry.
Yeah, I have seen pigs and chickens do that, so I think we all know better than that.
But if you eat plants directly, you're killing less plants than if you feed them to animals first.
That's really an important point. If we really care about plants, then we have to be vegans, because it takes far fewer plants if we eat them directly than if we feed the massive amount of corn and soybeans and other grains that we feed to cows, pigs, sheep, goats, turkeys, ducks, and chickens in order to get the flesh and also the eggs and dairy products, which is really a huge waste of grain and an absolute devastation of wildlife. You know, as Madeline and I travel around this country, which I've been doing in every state for the last, many years, well, almost 20 years, I just see everywhere two things. One is hospitals and those kinds of places for sick people are just proliferating, and also corn and soybean fields, monocultures, vast monocultures just spreading out over the whole planet and causing enormous devastation to the water and to the air and to this whole earth. So I think veganism is absolutely an idea whose time has come. I mean, it's really time for us as human beings on this planet, especially people in this country, as Americans, to embrace veganism if we're serious about world peace, if we're serious about dealing effectively with global warming, if we're serious about helping starving people in other cultures, and if we're serious about actually being effective in sustainability and equality and all the things that we say we care about. There's no way we can separate this from our food. Food is our most intimate and fundamental connection with the natural order. And so I'm really happy to see the World Peace Diet message getting embraced more and more, and it's now in its third printing. It's being translated into Chinese, and there's a whole network also of people in this country who are starting to teach classes on the World Peace Diet, 6 or 7 week courses, because I think it's all about education, really. Mm-hmm. Just to basically share these ideas. It's important to understand not only how to make healthy and delicious plant-based foods, but to understand why it's so important, to understand the theory underneath the practice and how we're all interconnected. So it's really wonderful to see people reading this book and getting very inspired and then wanting to teach other people about it. And so we've come out with a course outline for people who want to teach the course and spread the message in their community. And this is happening all over the country, in Ohio, in California, in Alaska, in Massachusetts, in Florida, in Arizona, just everywhere. People are teaching courses on the World Peace Diet in order to lay the foundation for this benevolent revolution that we need in this country and in this on this planet, in order to be able to live together sustainably and in peace together.
So you and your wife, Madeline, just basically travel the country?
Right.
Yeah. What a wonderful life. Do you ever go overseas as well to promote and teach?
Yeah, sometimes we go to Europe or South America. We've been to both places quite a bit, playing concerts. I've done some lectures over there also. But the main place I'm giving the message on the World Peace Diet is here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all over. I mean, we just we travel everywhere and give lectures on this. And my wife Madeline has been a vegan for just about as long as I have. Been a vegan for 27 years and haven't been to the doctor in 30 years. It's been just a wonderful experience, not only of health but of delicious food. I mean,
that's
it's
for
so
sure.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to hear people say, "Oh yeah, I guess you're a vegan. I guess it's just not that much variety or some kind of ridiculous thing." I mean, it's more variety, more delicious food than you can even imagine, and it's a wonderful experience to feel the connection with the earth through our eating, and to not want to think about where the food comes from. I think most people who are eating animal foods, we don't really want to think the misery and the hell that these creatures had to endure to be on our plates. And I think being a vegan, it's just the opposite. There's this feeling of, wow, this is so great, because we only buy organically grown foods as well.
I'd like to take this time and plug my own book that's going to be out next year, Vicky's Vegan Kitchen. And it's I've put recipes together, plus cooking information from all of my books.
Mm.
And from the 70s on, so it's like a huge, huge book.
Great.
Well, you have said you also practice music. You're a great musician, and we also started the show with one of your songs. How does your music work? Is that a good way, do you feel, for you to get your message across?
Yes, I'm really happy, actually, how the music works, because the music just sort of comes through me. I compose my own music. I was classically trained. I was a church organist and so forth when I was back in high school. But the music, I think, carries the message in a nonverbal way in some way. The whole sense that I have of the beauty of this planet, the beauty of this earth, the beauty of all the beings that we share this earth with, and the aspiration for world peace is just sort of deeply in my being. And so I guess it comes out, besides in writings, it comes out through the music as well. So I think it comes, it was one of the reasons I decided to get a PhD at Berkeley and teach college and so forth. And so now when I travel, I play music and then also do these lectures as well.
Well, that's wonderful. And I believe we have a caller. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm really interested in this guest and his message, and I'm wondering what was his inspiration, what led him to this life, what books he may have read, and what teachers he may have heard.
Yeah, thanks. I think for me it was the inspiration, as I said earlier, originally was the living example of communities of people living in kindness and compassion, and then reading also the books from the Buddhist and Taoist and Hindu and some of these traditions, and also I get the feeling also in some writings from the Christian tradition, but just basically for me it was, because I was only 21 years old, 22 years old, it was always just this sense of this is what we do when we want to live a more spiritual life. And then later I read, for example, John Robbins' book, Die for New America, which I thought was very helpful. Other books in the Buddhist tradition, To Cherish All Life by Kapalo Roshi. But the World Peace Diet book, I always felt that someone would write a book that would give the big picture of our whole predicament here, not just sort of the health aspects, the environmental aspects, and the suffering to animals aspects, but the bigger picture, the psychology and philosophy and spiritual dimension, and wrap it all into a larger view. So that's what my book does. But I feel like I've gotten, you know, in my PhD work at UC Berkeley, I took such a wide range of courses in anthropology, sociology, and all these education. And so it was really a wide range of books that I read, hundreds of different books, actually.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much, caller, for calling in. We've actually run out of time, but Dr. Will Tuttle, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. Your book is called The World Peace Diet, and can you, again, tell us your website and also let people know where you're going to be speaking tonight?
Sure. The website is willtuttle, willtuttle.com, or worldpeacediet.org or .com. And I'll be speaking here tonight before we leave Sarasota. We'll be speaking at the Friends Meeting House at 7 p.m., and then at 8 p.m. is the actual talk. And the address again there is 3137 57th Street. And that's in Sarasota. And all that information also is on the website, willtuttle.com. We have our tour scheduled there. Thank you.